So in the first six chapters, just a quick recap of Gita so far, Bhagwan has told us who's Jiva, what is the nature of Jiva, what are our problems, and then what is the sadhana that we need to do, which is prescribed in terms of karma yoga, approach a teacher, and gain knowledge. So this is the first six chapters of Gita in the essence. From seventh chapter onwards, Bhagwan is detailing what is Jagat and the Creator. And devotion is outlined, bhakti aspect. Bhagwan wants us to see Him in all the people, all the time, everywhere. That is the whole idea. This is Vishwarupa Darshan. Because we have an idea that God, when we pray to the God, God is somewhere. He's sitting somewhere and I'm here. He wants us to get over this notion that God is somewhere and you are here. When we start our journey as a seeker, as a sadhak, we have a Ishta Devta. We have a God, symbol, Bhagwan, whoever we call. And we start with our worship, our puja to that Ishta Devta. But as we progress on our spiritual journey, God wants to make sure that we widen our vision from that one Ishta Devta, other Devtas, and then ultimately we see the whole universe as Him only. This is Vishwarupa. Bhagwan as Vishveshwar, Lord of the universe, as Vishwarupa, as the universe. That's the whole idea, Vishveshwar, Vishwarupa. When we say Isht, what does Isht mean? Isht means like our desire, what we want. And what do we want? We want happiness. We want peace. And that's what we are looking for in our Ishta Devta. We want to get rid of our Raga and Dvesha. Because that is where our intellect comes in. And that is what we need to get rid of. I, Aham, Jiva, individuality is what we need to surrender to the Lord who is universal. So that's what God is talking about. So now we'll come to our shloka. In 18th one, Arjuna says that God, Bhagwan, I know who you are now. You are Tvam Aksharam Paramam Veditavyam. You are that Param Akshar who is to be known. Ved means to know. Tavyam means should be known. So Veditavyam, you are the supreme Param Tvam Param Aksharam who should be known. So now we'll carry on to shloka number 19. Anadi madhyantam anant viryam. Anant bahum shashi surya netram. Pashyami tvam dipta hutash vakram. Svatejasa vishwam idam tapantam. Let's chant it one more time together. Anadi madhyantam anant viryam, anant bahum shashi surya netram, pashyami tvam dipta hutash vakram, svatejasa vishwam idam tapantam. So Arjuna is saying, Bhagwan, you are anadi. I do not see your beginning. I also do not see your end. So when I do not see your beginning and when I do not see your end, naturally I cannot see your middle. This madhya should be in fact taken as a madhya without the middle. So there is no beginning, there is no end, and every place in fact should be the middle because we don't know where it started, where it ended. So Bhagwan, you are, wherever I look, you are there at all the places. Virya means you are omnipotent. You are extremely powerful. Anantabahum, many arms, Shashi Surya Netram, with sun and moon as your eyes. Now somebody says, what kind of logic is this? Sun as one eye and moon as one eye. What do you mean by that? So again, when we are looking at this universe as the form of the Lord, in that form, one eye is sun and one eye is moon. That is one aspect that is taken as. The other aspect that Bhagwan wants us to know is every being in this world, the eyes, the total eyes of the world that we have, are the sun and the moon that are your eyes. So sun and the moon are the total eyes of this whole world, in whose light which we see everything. See, if there is an object. For that object to be seen, that object has to be illumined. There has to be light on that object. Otherwise, the eyes cannot see. The object has to be lit up. Same way, if the object is lit up, but if we don't have the eyes, that object cannot be seen. So both things have to be there. The object has to be lit up, and the eyes has to be working. That is the whole idea. It is set up here. The total eyes. And when sun is there in the daytime, so God can see everything during the daytime. During the nighttime, moon is there. So during the daytime, God can see us. During the nighttime, God can see us through the moon. Now somebody has a question. What about Amavasya? When there is no moon? Fire. At that time, fire is the representative deity. So fire, you know, when in Hindu culture marriages take place, there is fire, which is the Agni Sakshi, the pure Sakshi. So during that time, fire is taken as the representative. So God can see us, everybody, at all the places, all the time, so we cannot hide from God. You know how when cat drinks milk, it closes the eye. We cannot hide from God anywhere, any place, at any time. That is the whole idea of God. Pashyami Tvam Deepta Hutash Vakram. Seeing your Deepta Hutash Vakram means blazing fire-like mouth. Deepta Hutash. Vakram is the mouth. Blazing fire-like mouth. You know, mouth has basically two functions. We speak and we eat. So fire here means warmth. We like warm food. We don't like cold food. And when somebody is speaking, you know, fire comes out. You know, he fired up the audience with his talk. He fired his employees. There's no coolness in firing, right? We fire people. We fire up the audience with our talk. So the deity for the fire is the speech. That's what Bhagwan is trying to tell us. You know, in Gurudev's commentary, I was listening at one place. He mentioned that, say, somebody who doesn't talk at all, or, you know, very, very laid-back kind of person, give him half a bottle of whiskey, then he will talk non-stop. Then he'll embarrass not only other people, but himself also. One other example, he said, I'm looking at her. He says, at one room, put 3 South Indians and then listen to them. Even in next room, people can listen to them. They have chilies on their mouth. Fire. That's what Gurudev is saying, and that's not me, from me. So that's that. Swatejasa. Your own self-brilliance, your own self-effulgence, Vishwamidam, this world, Tapantam, is scorched. With your own effulgence, your own brilliance. You know how in the 15th chapter, Swami Ishwaranandaji just did that chapter. Yada dityagatam tejo jagat bhasaya akhilam. Like sun, he has his own light. Nothing needs to reveal that light. He is revealing by himself. So when we see Lord as the total form of the universe, and he wants us to know that that is you, that is Brahman, so that is self-revealing. Nothing needs to reveal it. It's there. We just don't know it. We just don't know it. It's there. We just need to remove our avidya, our ignorance, and it's there to be revealed itself. That it will reveal itself. Vishwam idam tapantam. Scorching the whole world. The whole world is drenched with the sunlight, sustaining all the organisms that we need to sustain ourselves with. That's the whole idea. It's pervading the entire world. As he said in the second line, Shashi Surya Netram, the sun and the moon are being the eyes of the God. They're covering the whole universe, which is totally pervaded by me. That's the idea here. Anything? Any comments? Yeah. Aunty ji is saying that, you know, when sun is there, it's giving light to everybody, and so is the moon, which is giving light to everybody. So I think the meaning is pretty much the same. Matlab, I think wahi nikalta hai, which, yeah, it's giving light. The light is there all the time, I think. Roshni, right? Hamesha, har waqt, har jagah hai. Kisi na kisi roop mein, in some form or the other, the light is always there. Sun, moon, or the fire. Agni, surya, ya chandrama. Kisi na kisi roop mein, Bhagwan hame hamesha dekh raha hai. God is looking at us all the times, in some form or the other, with through his eyes. To know something, you know, we can only compare it with something. Like, you know, for us to know day, we know day because we know night. If night is not there, we don't know what, you know, there has to be some reference point. But then that's what Bhagwan is saying, that he's beyond even that. Like, for example, in sun, there's no night. For sun, it's always daytime. It's always light. It's for us, because we know there is darkness and there is light. So that's how we go by. You know, like, but again, when he says swatejasa, it's self-revealing. It's like when we put ourselves in a room and there's light, we see everything and we see ourselves. And when we switch off the light, we do not see anything. But we do not say, I don't feel myself. We always know that I'm there. That's the light he is talking about, the inner light. I know I am there. It's not that, you know, unless you show me a mirror in the darkness, then only I can see. No, I know I'm there. It's just that I cannot see other objects. That's, I think, the other object has to be lit up for the eye to see. That's in the form of the sense objects. You know, shabda, rasa, rupa, gandha, sparsh. The eyes, the touch, the smell, the taste, all those kind of hearing. It's in those modalities we see the world, which is just an appearance. Shall we move on to the second one?
Dhyava prathivyo ridamantaram hi vyaptam twayekena dishashtra sarvaha drishtvad bhutam rupamugram tavedam lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatman.
Let's chant it again together.
Dhyava prathivyo ridamantaram hi vyaptam twayekena dishascha sarvaha drishtvad bhutam rupamugram tavedam lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatman.
Dhyava means heaven and prathvi earth. Antar, the interval. Arjuna is saying, looking at the form of the God, from heaven to earth, I see nothing but you. You're everywhere, filling every corner, the whole space is totally filled by you. Vyaptam, you're established. Tvek and Dishashya Sarva. All the directions, I see nothing but you. They give all the example of all the 10 directions, up, down, forward, backward, and in between. All the places I see nothing but you. Drishtvad bhutam, your adbhut roop, your beautiful roop. And rupam ugram, like in the previous shloka we listened, deepta hutash vakram, blazing fire like mouth. So that's the ugra form, tavedam, yours. Lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatman, all these three worlds are completely terrified, O Lord. All the three worlds are completely terrified, looking at your adbhut roop on one side and your ugra roop on the other side. So when he's saying that you're completely filling the distance between the earth and the heaven, he's also saying that it implies to us also that we are in him. When we do our puja, when we think of God as somewhere, and then I'm here. It's not that God is somewhere, I'm here. I am in God as well. We all are in God as well. Everything that we see is in God in himself. That's what he's trying to say. From heaven to earth, in all the directions, all the corners are completely filled by you. And I am in you as well, O Lord. let's take ourselves for example. If you look at our body, looks solid body. But let's put our body under the microscope. Let's say electron microscope. You know, it's going to give us all the details when we go on, get down to the level of the cells. But then from the cells, we get down to the level of the molecules. Molecules, we look at the nucleus. And then here are electrons, protons, you know, we have the atoms. There's space. So ultimately, in our body also, we have all that space. We are not solid. We are porous. Space is pervading through us. And whenever we want to understand Bhagwan, God, the closest element that comes to is the space. We always take the example of space because space is everywhere. It's all pervading. It's everywhere. And God is subtler than that. So when space is pervading through all that, what to talk about God? We have no individuality. We think ourselves, I have this problem, I have that problem, I have to go there, I have to do this. But see, all of us is totally in and out pervaded by the God, if we talk at that level. But we cannot let go of the aham and the mama bhav, the I and mine, whereas nothing belongs to us. So this is what Arjuna is trying to tell us, looking at the form of the God, that we think of this as mine or aham, but it's not. Nothing belongs to us. This is where we need to surrender to the God. God, everything is yours, and I'm going to offer myself also to you. This is upasana. This is what is expected to us, out of us, as a sadhaka. And this is the same. This is Vedanta. This is what they are trying to tell us. This is Vedantic knowledge. But it is hard. It's not easy to give up that form of the body identification. We have been living through all these years. We have multiple of lives we have led, we have born with. In this life also. See, we sit down and do our meditation for half an hour, 15 minutes or so. So for during that time, I think that I'm Brahman. And then we sleep for 6, 7, 8 hours. And then for the rest 14, 15 hours, aham and me, I am this, my name is this, I am a CEO, I work there, I have this place. So 14 to 15 hours, we have a nail and we are hammering on it. Tuck, 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 tuck. For 15 minutes, we are trying to pull it out. It's not going to work. So that ratio has to change. In fact, Bhagwan says, ki, you know, okay, if there is a problem, that's what, see, when we look at somebody who's wearing orange clothes, we, you know, here is fine, you know, here, but in India or otherwise, you know, oh, aagya, you know, this guy has come nothing but just to get some food or something like this. This is what we think, you know, sannyasi, kuch kaam dham to karte nahi, these guys don't do anything. And here we are working, you know, we are working hard, we have accumulated money out, you know, out of doing hard work, and this guy is, you know, he looks fine. He can work. Why should he not work? That person has so much knowledge that we are nobody in front of that person. Bhagwan says, that person has already figured it out. This is what the supreme knowledge is mentioned in the 9th chapter, Raj Goyam, Raj Vidya, Raj Yoga. That person knows. And all these things of the world are bothering him. Family, relations, you know, children. Give everything up. Goes to the forest to meditate. I like food. I like the, you know, different kind of food items. You want to have total identification with Brahman? Give it up. What about clothes? You know, I like, give it up. That's what sannyasa says. We are sadhakas, huh? Let's do this. Let's not reverse that. When we hammer the nail, let's hammer it very softly. Right. Let's hammer it very softly. I'm this. I am this. Like that. So we can start from that aspect. When, right, right. Everything is for you. I'm offering myself. There's nothing that belongs to me. Oh Lord, take it. Let go. See, like, there's another example that has been given. The most famous example in Vedanta is Rajju Sarpa. rope and the snake. Everywhere you see anything, you know, they will bring that example and will explain everything out of that. For example, Bhagwan says, when you're looking at a rope, you think it is a snake. When we are looking at this world, we are looking at Bhagwan, but we think it is world. Out of our imaginations, we have given different names. Wall, brick, humans, car, road, persons. These are all our imaginations. The actual substratum is the rope. This is what you are looking at. Can you see it? I don't see it. I see all these objects. I don't see you. That's what in 9th chapter Bhagavan has said again. Sarva bhutani masthani. Everything is in me. Same thing here. Everything is in me, but you don't see it. Bhagavan is very compassionate. If, do you see the rope? No, I see the snake. Okay, let me give you a torch. There you go. Do you see it? Now I see it. So the snake will go away slowly. Slowly. And ultimately, we will start seeing the rope. And that's the whole essence of this whole teaching. To bring our focus from the rope to the, from the snake to the rope. So I see in you in all the directions, looking at your beautiful rope and your Ugra rope, climbing like, say for example, Sears Tower. You know, it looks beautiful when we climb up. But when we look down, we are standing on glass. We're afraid of falling down. That's the Ugra. All the directions are afraid, oh Lord. Arjuna is trying to say, I'm also getting afraid. But he's not going to say that first. Everybody is getting afraid. Everybody is going on a vacation. Why don't we go? That's how we say, right? That's what he's doing too. Everybody is getting afraid. Everybody is going on a vacation. In the next few verses, he's going to say, I'm also getting afraid. Why don't we also go on a vacation? Why don't we have that car? Why don't we do that? Everybody is doing that. Same connection. Simple language, heaven, earth, and Patal Loka. You know, in physical world, they say that this is the earth, and then the heaven, where all the celestial beings are. On this earth, it's us human beings and all these other people and organisms that we see. And then Patal Loka, where we see the demons. The demonic world is there. That's what he's talking about. But, I mean, this is just a symbolic thing, you know, though. Everywhere, everybody is scared. In this entire Brahman, in this entire universe, it's not only Earth he's talking about. He's talking about all the other planets, all the other galaxies, all the other suns that are out there. That's the whole idea. It's not this Earth. Earth, like for example, the ground which is on, say for example, Mars, and the other planets, that Earth is also included. Not just this earth. The whole Brahman, the whole universe, all the galaxies are scared looking at your roop. The demonic world, you know, the asuras, you know, the rakshasas which have been described, you know, for example, in our Puranas, like in Ramayana, you know, Ravana was considered as an asura, his clan, the people who are engaged in tamasic activities, you know, all the bad kind of activities that they are engaged in. That's the tamasic or the asuric or the demonic world. See, it's not sitting and closing our eyes and, you know, thinking about like I'm Brahman or whatever. That is not, we consider that as meditation. But the meditation has to be all 24 hours, which Anilji has talked, everywhere it's written. We have to consider our work as our meditation. Karma Yoga, that's what in the first 6 chapters Bhagwan has prescribed. Consider your work, offer it to God. That's your Karma Yoga meditation. That's where we start as. Then we turn to the scriptures. Start reading, doing our Shravan, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Then we gain the knowledge. So whatever we do in this world, we consider everything, everybody as God. Whatever you do, do not expect anything. Offer everything to God And that is meditation. Once we have that, this I and the mind feeling will not be as strong. Gradually we will start losing it. And that's when the shift will happen. Gradually, shanai shanai. That's what they say. Slowly, slowly, it will happen. And then we'll be, while it's not, while we are walking, eating, talking, we are not doing our meditation. Every time when we think that this is not me. See, at the end of the class, we will stand up and we will walk out. As soon, while we are here, we have kept our aham at one side. When we walk out, when we put our sandals and shoes on, that's when we put our aham, our mind and I feeling back on. And then we have things to carry on. We can do that, but as long as we have this feeling that this is not me, I have a role to play, but I'm just a role player. This is not me. And then whatever you have to do, do it. That is also meditation. Just do it, but you have to keep this in mind that this is not me. And that is meditation. That's true, but see, what do we expect? Mm-hmm. When we say expect, what do we expect? We expect happiness, mm-hmm, all the time. We want to be happy, we want to be joyful, we want to be at peace at all the time.
But we are just doing our part, correct?
No, again, there is a difference. If you do considering yourself as this piece of flesh and bones, mm-hmm, then there is a problem. Because then the expectations will be there. And that's where the problem happens. Because then we want more. Of course, when people work, when we do things, we need, but we all think that, what is the bottom line? What am I going to get out of this? What is the whole idea? Why should I know Brahman? There are people happy doing whatever they are doing. Why should I know him? What is the point? I don't want to know him. I'm happy doing whatever I am doing. Of course. So there are people who are happy doing whatever they are doing, and then they will go through their toss-ups in the life, their sorrows and the fears and the joys. They will have that feeling. They will have that. And if they are happy doing that, then they will keep on doing that. That's fine. But for a person who has figured it out, there's something wrong in it. Is this there to it? Is there something more to it? Is there some principle in this life who's making the whole thing go? What is my relationship to that principle? That person will turn to the scriptures. And then through the scriptures, approaching a guru and a teacher, he will gain the knowledge. With that knowledge, see what happens, what am I looking for? I am looking for happiness. Do I need happiness for 3-4 hours a day? And then rest of the times, you know, it's back to the same work square again. Or do I want to know the ultimate truth? When I know that this piece of flesh and bones is not me, that's what they say. You are Sachid Anand. You are Gyanam Satyam Gyanam Anantam. You are in bliss all the time. It's not a 3 or 4 hour happiness. 3-4 ghante ki khushi nahi hai ye. This is bliss all the time. That is the whole idea. And when we do anything, Gurudev has said multiple times, you play your role with a gutso. If something happens, fine. But don't expect it. Offer it to God. That's what karma yoga is. That's the beginning stage for any seeker. Anybody. We do it. We get something. Offer it to him. Don't expect it. Because when we accept it, then we'll have raga and dvesha. We'll have likes and dislikes. See, there is a person, and I don't like that person. Where did that feeling come in? It came in my mind. That person is just there. That person has no independent existence on his own or her own. That existence is with God. That feeling came in my mind. So it's going to affect me. And then I'm going to be miserable. Well, that's what everybody is different. Everybody. Well, that's prarabdh, that's karmas, you know. But whatever we have done through our previous lives, whatever we have accumulated, we are going to go through the prarabdha. You know, there was a question, I think somebody asked that, you asked that question, like, you know, somebody who's mentally challenged, you know, that's like burning up the prarabdha, burning up the karmas. That's what it is. So we, whatever we are here, doing here right now, we have done something good in our previous lives. That we have this good fortune of having this opportunity to come in contact with the scriptures. Through the scriptures, we are going to have this knowledge that is going to give us the freedom, which we are already free. It's not that it's going to come from somewhere. One day I'm going to be free. There's nothing like that. That's another wrong notion. But we'll talk about that some other time. But that's another wrong notion that one day I'm going to be free. One day moksha is going to come. That's also a wrong notion.
Something like this also happens to lucky people.
It is difficult to have a human life. You know, we could have been rock or animal or plant or, you know, mountain, anywhere. We are born as human beings. Just being born as a human is a great deal itself. So born as a human being, having come in contact with this, and if we don't want to get this knowledge, he calls that person a moolha, a most deluded person. Uska question nahi ho sakta. The point is, when we are here, I mean, the whole idea is so that we can have the right knowledge, and that will make sure that, you know, we understand what is freedom, what is bondage. That is all described in Vivek Chudamani, and how do we become free and how do we get rid of that. It's not anywhere that we have to go and get it. It's here already. We just need to get it. There's one more point I would like to make about this heaven and the earth thing. A lot of times we say that, you know, God is here. The God is in me. But then what we are doing, God, who's the universal truth, we are lodging him here. So we become the support of the God. It's not possible. How can we be the support of God? We have to shift. God, Bhagwan wants us to say and think, I am your support. I am everywhere. You are in me. So as we walk, talk, think, do everything, we have to keep on thinking, I am in Lord. Somebody is going to ask us, where are you? I am in Bakersfield. Or I am in the room or Chinmay Mission Gokul. At the most stretch of our intellect, we will say we are in space. But we, Bhagwan, few times a day, if we slow down and think, I am in him. And then see the difference.
Last Thursday, we talked about fear of the Lord.
No. Fear, we cannot be afraid of Lord. We are in Lord, so we cannot be afraid of Lord.
Do you remember the discussion that we had that
last time? Right. Well, it is to, at least to put that thing in that person, what is right and what is wrong, and so that that person can do the right thing in life. By you know, see, what do our scriptures say? Do this, don't do this. They will say, okay, don't gamble or don't do this, even though in the 9th chapter, Bhagwan has, 10th chapter, Bhagwan has told about his vibhuti, glory. Among everything, I'm the best. I am the best. I remember Shah Rukh Khan movie's song now. I am the best. And Arjuna saying, God, you are the best. Like in a gambler also, he's the best gambler. But our scripture says, our book says that should not be done. So why that discrepancy is there? The discrepancy is like the same thing, fear. Like, why do this, right? So what he wants us to know that in everything we have to see the glory of the Lord. So say somebody who's going to do something, like whatever activity, but if he can see God in that, then he'll have some kind of fear. Then, you know, God is not going to like this. I should not do this. Well, looking at the God's form, everybody is afraid, God, your form, you know, God, because Bhagwan gave Arjuna the Divya Chakshu, because he couldn't have seen Lord with his regular eyes. So he gave him the special eyes to look at his Divya Roop, the Vishwa Roop. Other people couldn't see Bhagwan like that. It is said in scriptures, only four people could do it. Sanjay, the person who's telling the whole battlefield scene to Bhagwan, to Dhritarashtra. Then it is said, Bhishma Pitama, you know, the commander-in-chief of the Kauravas. Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas. And I think Vidur. He was like the minister for the Kauravas. So all these things which are described, Bhagwan had to give special vision to Arjuna. So Arjuna could see him like that. But all of this is being described by Sanjay to Dhritarashtra in the palace. How can Sanjay see him in this form? Because the actual description is coming from Sanjay. So, as I said, you know, it is said in the scripture that Sanjay had that Divyachakshu also. So he is the one who is describing all this. Even though it has not been revealed to him by God. Arjuna needed those eyes. Sanjay did not need those eyes. So that's another example, you know, when there is like a wise person and there's a relatively, you know, simple kind of person, God will have a special kripa on a simple person because he knows the wise person will be okay. He didn't need to give those things to Sanjay, but he had to give those special eyes to Arjuna. He had a special moha or a special, you know, prem, a special attraction to Arjuna. So he gave it to him so that he could see him. Because Arjuna wanted to see Bhagwan, you have told your glory. Bhagwan did a perfect marketing policy in the 10th chapter. My vibhuti, 54 examples. I am the best. Okay, Arjuna says, Bhagwan, show it to me. Okay, so he is showing all this. So slowly Bhagwan showed Arjuna, okay, see this. Divya malam vadharam aneka vaktra nayanam. See this beautiful clothes, the garlands, the fragrances, the kiritam mukutam. The CS crown, the mace, the chakra, all those things. Gradually he is making a shift to his mouth. Deepta Hutashavakram, blazing fire like mouth. That's what Bhagavan also wanted. Gradually from beautiful things in his body to his mouth, blazing fire. Like a couple gets married, you know. First night, Chandramukhi, like moon. First year, Suryamukhi, slightly angry. And then after that, Jwalamukhi, like a volcano. So slowly he is making that shift. But he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He's just showing his roop. See, God has been described as creator, sustainer, and destroyer. We have three deities in the Hindu Shastras. Bhagwan Brahmaji is the creator. Bhagwan Vishnu is a sustainer and Bhagwan Shiva is the destroyer. But these are just forms given to one universal truth. And we have to take destruction in as much celebration as creation, because if that is not going to happen, how is the more things going to be created? See, we say that I've gained weight. I'm a few pounds higher, fatter, or I'm lighter. But the total weight of the earth remains the same. Where is earth going to go? Earth is not going to lose or gain weight. If we just put it in that perspective. Yes. I mean, what's the big thing? It's just a body. Because he wants us to see his glory in everything so that we remember and see him at all the places all the time and we forget ourselves as an individual. And I'm in him. Yes. Yes. You are. Yes. Not as a body and a flesh. See, because, you know, people say, okay, like we see each other. Like, then you may have a question that, aren't you conscious of me? You can see me, right? You're conscious of me. So, okay. So you're conscious. But that consciousness is different. This is on a perspective level of body and flesh. I see you. So there are two things. But consciousness, there is only one consciousness. So yes. There is one consciousness which is the best. That is at the transactional level and that is fine. But you know, don't expect, okay, you know, he has to do this and then when that doesn't happen, then we get upset. Right? We get upset because that's our desire. We are desiring an outcome out of that. And when the desire does not happen, we become upset. And that's what he's trying to... I know. See, when... because that is a form of desire. Swami Ishwarananda ji said there are four things that we have to get rid of. The body identification, that I am the doer and I am the experiencer, that this world is real, and the desire, running after things. We don't give up our desire, we will have a problem. See an example, what you can figure out, you can find out, like, what does a person desire? The thing that's going to make him most angry because he's not able to get it. And that's what he's desiring the most.
Right.
And that's what they say. This is the sadhana aspect, you know. Do your karma yoga. Do everything. Play your role with full guts. So offer everything to God. Because if you expect it, then you have desires. And when you're desiring something, you're not getting it, then you will have the anger. When you have the anger, thoughts come. Then you want to act. Then it's only a matter of time. Because that desire out of anger is going to create an action which is not going to be good. So when you're teaching, when you're kids are not learning, then you're getting angry, and then out of that anger, that action that comes out is not going to be nice. You're not going to soothe the kid. Oh, that's okay, you didn't do this. You're going to have an action that's going to be having a detrimental effect.
That this is what God wants?
No. At transactional level, you have to do. So it's not that you don't get angry ever. You get angry, but you know that you're not getting angry. It's not you who's getting angry. But at the transactional level, for things to happen, you have to do your vyavahar. This is what is called a vyavahar. Right? Like say we have some talk going on, somebody comes and puts some books for sale. Mm-hmm. And people pick up the book and don't pay. What is this? Mm-hmm. You know, they have to pay. This is called vyavahar. Right? Yeah. For things to happen, you have to get angry, but then you are not the one who's getting angry. So that shift, if there, then it becomes easier. Don't let that anger touch you. Who's getting angry? You have to see.
Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.